It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Mayo Galway week. Everyone is set for what should be a thrilling contest between these two sides. Although I've just read the Mayo News preview and there was talk of the 1987 game. So Lord knows it's not guaranteed.
Ouch. What
better? Yes, there he is. Kevin McStay's on the podcast. What better way to introduce you than bringing that up? Actually, I can think of many better ways of introducing you than bringing that particular game up. But how are you?
I'm good, Rob.
Good to have you along again. Did your boot really go into the stand and how quickly did it come back?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Your boot was thrown into the crowd. Have you any memory of this? Mike Finnerty's writing about it. 1987, someone grabbed your boot and flung it into the crowd. You've no memory of it.
I don't remember that now.
Finno. Just, we'll have to go back to him.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Has he published it?
He has published it. You went down to tie your shoelaces.
Oh, I was pushed over a few times by what's his name? He was a very good player. Oh, Jesus. McHugh. From Headford.
Seamus McHugh.
And he didn't throw me a shoe away anywhere.
Oh, Finno. Now, he did. He started the article. Finno's article is all about being a 10-year-old and his first memory of an 87 final. Yeah, well, so maybe 10-year-old might finish it.
10-year-olds and their memories. Isn't it?
Wow. It's too many.
Maybe I'm having a blank, but I don't think so.
Well, the pushing over was the first part of that story, so at least 50% of it was true.
And I am trying to blank the match instead of the 40 years.
Barry Colnan, you've heard his voice already. That's a long wait for an intro. How are you?
I'm very well. Looking forward to Sunday. I was only 3 in 87, so whatever memory Finno has of the game, I'm 0, and it's actually my birthday on Sunday, so I'm hoping for a good present and a good Galway win.
Yeah, you normally don't expect to be watching Mayo and Galway on your birthday. I keep saying this, I know it's a cliche at this stage, and we all keep talking about April Galway Mayo championships very, very early, but Ara, look, at after the last few years we're all upside down and when championships start, so I think everyone's just ready for this, fair to say.
Yeah, but I think one point in that is it's a very early start, but I know in 98 we played Mayo on the 24th of May. So it's not worlds apart. It's a bit too early. I think we're still, as Ray Silk said, in a year till Sunday, the dry ball and the fast sod, we're still a little bit away with that. And we hope the sod is okay on Sunday. But it's a little bit different that we're getting an Easter first round of the championship.
What's your memories of the 98 game, Barry? Did you go?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? And I think he listens to a lot of these. I had a cousin from Headford. I think I mentioned him before, called Stuart Moran. And he was a fella who used to dress up in random outfits for Galway games and get the Mexican wave started at halftime. And I don't remember 98. There was a huge Mexican wave down in Castlebar. I'll never forget it. But yeah. You know, I'd have a brilliant memory of it and some of the real points of it. Kieran McDonald's shot off the crossbar, Jaff Fallon's double hop and got a great score. And I think a year till Sunday probably embedded all those memories in all our minds, and heightened the sense of awe that we have around that team. And it was just like the atmosphere down there that day was electric. And like I'd say, you had big characters involved as well. I think that adds to it. You know, the Kieran Max, the Mahans, the John O'Mahonys, the Donlans, all of these big personalities, John Casey, all of these guys. And it was a brilliant game of football. And, I think once Galway got out of there, then even as a, I was like 98, 14-year-old, going home in the car, listening to the older folk talking about, where this journey could take us. Now, it was we had a tough battle in the Connacht final, but it was a memorable year and one that'll never be forgotten.
Kevin, the folklore, sport without narrative is nothing at all, really. So when you put that jersey on, you had the experience of doing it. I don't know if you remember doing it at underage as well, but like that Mayo Galway element, I presume as an ex-footballer, but also as a supporter now, is something different about it.
Yeah, it's the match in every Mayo footballer's career. And I'm sure it's the same for Galway players. In Connacht, it has that special history around it, and my first ever time to wear a county jersey was against Galway in a Ted Webb game. I was marking the Galway captain, Val Daly. He was a cornerback. I was a corner forward. As 2 15-year-olds or 2 16-year-olds, whatever we were at the time, and that was really, really special. You know, getting your first Mayo jersey, and then all the way up. But always the measure for us of whether we were a decent team underage or going places as seniors was, could we get over Galway? Now, in my career, I just a shocking time against Galway. Even bad Galway teams bet us. You know, I put it that way. Some very good Galway teams bet us as well, but we just couldn't. The group that I was part of, Galway killed us. And we had a very, very good group based around an All-Ireland winning team of 83, under 21. And every time we got a little bit of oxygen or a decent season behind us, and you mentioned 87, Galway knocked us back. Like, I would say the 87 defeat nearly killed us as a group of players. Like, it stalled everything. You know, we were really ready to be in All-Ireland semi-finals and finals at that stage. And could not just get rid of Galway. They were always scratching against us, and so it was always a great test because they always had good footballers. So that hasn't changed, and next Sunday hasn't changed. And I was talking to Billy Cotton in the Herald this morning, and I said, like, it's gas. Of all the things that have happened in the last 12 months, and here we are again now, 4 or 5 days out, and now we're back to nearly the flip of a coin again. And how does that happen? One team kind of killing themselves in their minds, throwing away in All-Ireland, another team down in Division 2. The gap couldn't be bigger between Mayo and Galway, and here we are now 4 days out, and there isn't cigarette paper between us. It's just amazing how this happens every year, and maybe that's the measure of the tradition and the rivalry, that no matter where you are, no matter what's going on with your squad, you're going to raise it for a match against Mayo or vice versa, obviously. And that's pretty much the way I see Sunday's game again, that it's gone back to this toss of a coin.
Yeah, someone just asked me in shop who we do it. I said, we will, but it's going to be sketchy. That's my take on it right now as we start this. Barry, last year's game was back to the old days because it was a one-off. You know, we had no back door and all that crack. And the second thing I want to say about last year's game is...
And the year before, of course.
Yeah, exactly. 1 point up in Pearce Stadium. But the thing, Bodo, you can take this, but I'll go to you first, Barry, which is, like, I came out at that game last year with the ease which with Mayo turned it around and that 11-point swing and just dismissing Galway in my mind. But then, like, I was just having a smile to myself there. At half-time last year in Croke Park, I won't say I was completely writing Mayo off because we know Mayo can always do these surges. So I wasn't doing that. But there was no way I was doing anything other than going, wow, Galway are better than I thought they were. So it's how quick it gets. 30 to 35 minutes can change so much in Gaelic football.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of our big players had gone really, really well in that first half as well. You know, we know Shane got injured, had been going well and had been causing Mayo problems, got a great goal. And the loss of Shane, probably in a team that's relatively inexperienced. And on top of that, a management team that was relatively inexperienced. I liked the fact that James Horan got a lot of decisions right at halftime. Mayo came out with a huge energy, a huge physicality. And that's, I don't mean that in any way, in a bad way, that physicality that Galway couldn't live with. And I think that was probably just an experience thing as well, and that they've done it at the top level, where very few of these Galway players outside of an underage have been in a situation and that real heat of battle that Mayo have been, and the level that the Mayo players have been. So they turned it around, and the big advantage that they turned it around very quickly. So it wasn't dragging on and they weren't clawing their way back. You know, they got back to level, I think, within about 12 minutes of the second half, and they pushed on from there. And once they got level, there was only going to be one winner. But Galway will be looking at that going, let's take the positives from the first half. Let's, you know, it was kind of similarities in Mayo's approach to the first half of that game and towards the league final. So it was a huge amount of turnovers in the Galway half-back line. So Mayo soloed, they brought that energy from their half back line, but they got turned over quite a number of times, and Galway punished them on the counter attack. Mayo tightened that up in the second half. They didn't tighten it up in the league final. Galway will be hoping that over 70 minutes the next day, they can punish, they can suck Mayo in enough to dispossess, leave enough quality up top and cause problems the other way.
Is it a kind of a forget about that game kind of mindset from Mayo's perspective, Kevin? Because like you wonder how things have moved on. You wonder how they'll approach it this time around. And you presume that Galway in McHale Park will be a different kind of kettle of fish this time around, despite their own travails over the last few weeks.
You're talking about the match now in Croke Park.
Just what's coming next weekend. Like yeah, we can't versus, deduce too much versus yeah the Croke Park game.
Versus the Croke Park. Like that's another country. That's so last year. This game just moves so fast and squads move so fast, Robin, that, you know, referencing something that was the guts of 12 months ago, look at all that's happened in between. I think you should always look at the league as to try and get some sort of form. And then when you do, Galway and Mayo start telling you fibs and it's fake news nearly from the end of their league. Because they both certainly left the stage with a whimper, didn't they, really? And I think both counties will be really hoping that doesn't reflect where they're at. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. When I started, well, you and I had a long discussion pre that final, and I know I argued strongly with you that was not a chance Mayo could win that final, that they would have had to play a championship level game to beat Kerry, who had 6 weeks, they could go full tilt. We couldn't because we're thinking of Galway. And if you flip it, what were Galway thinking of when they played Roscommon, both in the final match, a dead rubber from their perspective, and then the final in Croke Park, they were totally had their guns trained on Mayo. Now, why can I say that with a reasonable degree of confidence? Well, if Galway wanted to win the league final, Shane Walsh would have started. And Shane Walsh would have played the whole match. And Galway probably would have had a much improved chance of winning it. So you couldn't argue that Galway were mad for road in that final. If they were mad for road, they would be in a bad place, certainly defensively, from goalkeeper to number eight. Was Paul Conroy number nine? I hope he was. Or you know the point I'm making. The half their team was all over the place, their defensive half in that final. So I'm assuming that the league was very decent for both teams. Galway were favourites to get promotion and get out of the division. That's exactly what they did. They had one massive test on the road. That was against Derry, and they hammered them very, very impressively. Mayo, on the other side, had one very good game against Dublin, and the rest was up, down, over, back, whatever you're having. But they still, survival would have been their absolute ambition. And then they got the bonus of getting to a final and it turned out it wasn't really a bonus because they weren't sure whether they wanted to be there or not. So that's where they are. They're both back in Division One. And Galway will definitely view their progress in 2022 as improvement. And they'd be 100% right. They've certainly improved. If you're just to take general kind of chunks of the analysis, you'd say broadly Galway's forwards are better than Mayo's, what's new. Mayo's backs are better than Galway's, what's new. The Galway goalkeeping situation is all over the shop, and Galway have one fabulous midfielder in great form at the moment, and I really think the Tierney lad is a smashing player as well if he's paired up with Paul Conroy. We've lost Jason Jordan Flynn, but Matthew Ruan, thankfully, is playing superb stuff. So this match, a lot will happen around that middle third now. That's going to be really important. So that's kind of just a broad base. I think there's going to be, so was it Barry, you mentioned matchups, or was it you, Rob, or someone?
Well, we're going to get to it. Yeah. That's for sure.
That will be key. I made the point previously, both teams know each other so well, because if they can't get matchups right now after 4 years of trying to beat each other, and you know, it's the same big names, Walsh, Conroy, Comer, etc. They have to be nailed down from our point of view, and then when you flip it, Galway have to look after our danger men. So that will be hugely interesting. But I think Mayo are one area Mayo will definitely go after will be I thought the Galway kick out in the final, the league final, when I was kind of zoning in on it for the first time and watched it a few times during the league, but there was nothing going on between, like, it's not all the goalie's fault. There was nothing going on out in front of them. So they have a huge work. And I've no doubt Mayo are very good at pressing the opposition kick out anyway. But when they're pressing this now against a goalkeeper in defence, they mightn't be sure of themselves. And funny thing, and I'm going to finish this section out. The funny thing about the Galway lads, Barry, I don't know if you agree with me or not, that man for man, I actually admire an awful lot of the Galway footballers, the backline, because if you take, I think Killian McDade is a smashing player, John Daly, smashing player, Dylan McHugh, smashing, all really, really good footballers, Silk in the corner, good footballer. But I've been making the point, like, how hardened are they as championship defenders, which they're going to have to be, especially if Mayo continue with their running game, which, you know, why wouldn't they? Isn't that what they do? So that's going to be the big test. Now, if they were to come up trumps, if that half-back line was to come up trumps and they got something out of the full-back line, now it changes pretty dramatically. But so far, all I've seen from that back line is that they are very comfortable on the ball. They're good footballers. But in terms of stopping a running team coming through them, they haven't been impressive. There's no way you could say there's no way you could say they've been impressive. And their good fortune is that Mayo are missing Conroy, Doherty perhaps is injured, the two O'Connors perhaps are injured, etc. And that brings it back. Now, I know that's broad brushstrokes, Rob, but that's how most people review it.
I'm interested to see, because it is the big talk about. What's your take on that, Barry, in terms of that description of Galway's defensive structure, or, well, the individuals?
Yeah, well, excuse me. I think there's a lot of points that Kevin has made that I'd agree with there. In terms of, we'll start with the goalkeeping situation. It is a problem. I think Conor Flaherty, who had played most of the league in goal, had won an All-Ireland under 20, great hurler as well, but and the added advantage that he's a club mate of my own from Clare Galway, is a brilliant goalie, has a huge range in terms of his kickouts. If that can be maximised, then it's a big advantage to Galway. The problem is we don't know what Conor Flaherty to be playing or not.
The problem is his injury, isn't there?
Yeah, so he did his quad against Roscommon. I'm not sure how that has recovered. Talks are that he won't be ready. So that puts Conor Gleeson in goal. He has had issues against Mayo. You know, big man, you know, very good from penalties, good under the high ball, commanding, but can't get his kickouts away quick enough. And that's not something, yeah, you can improve it, but I don't think it's something that can be learned in a general intercounty career, because it's a real, real skill. And it's one that he doesn't have at the moment. And that's you know, I think we all accept that. In terms of the Galway backs, you know, you're right. John Daly is an excellent footballer. My one concern about John Daly, and this isn't any fault of his, is he's had a number of knee injuries. And I'm not sure his knee allows him to do, so the mind can do it, the footballing ability can do it, and it's not from a stone. He looked at you marked his dad in a Ted Webb at cornerback. He went places after that and it was up the pitch. But I'm a little bit concerned about his legs and his ability to cover space. But on the ball, reading the ball, exceptional. Brilliant passer of the ball. He has everything that you want in a six, but just that knee gives him trouble. But overall, it's very, like, I would say a huge amount of backs or back units would struggle if they don't get enough cover back the pitch. So Mayo, when they're going really well, they have really good backs, but they have plenty of cover back. Jeremy O'Connor helps out, Kevin McLaughlin helps out, and they cover the space that the backs don't have to run into, and it leaves them with a job to mark their men. But then if they have the opposite situation where there's loads of space, which we saw in the league final, no back line can mark that. So I think Galway need to get their defensive structure, which includes their half forward line, maybe someone like Finian O'Lee. I think they need to get that better. They need to get that better if they're going places, because we did see in a lot of the league games where at times the Galway team looked exciting, they looked athletic, they looked good on the ball, they created good scores, but then they played teams like Offaly and Cork, who when they ran at them just went straight down the middle and got goals. That's an issue for us. And if Mayo bring that running game and we decide not to cover back, apologies, if we bring that running going to leave space in Kabar, and that's going to be an issue. So there's loads of points. I think Kevin has covered quite a number of them. But yeah, at the back, we're under pressure, but it's going to involve a lot of players actually coming into that system rather than just relying on our half back line doing it. And then I think I said this to you, Rob, earlier on when we were chatting. The one point I would agree on is that probably Sean Kelly, possibly John Daly, and definitely Paul Conroy, if we were to go 1-9, we'll get in the Mayo team. That's just 3 out of 9. But I think up top, we would say, well, I think Damien Comer would get into the team. I think Matthew Tierney would. I think Shane Walsh would. I think Rob Finnerty would. So it is a case, as you said, if you're picking the best 15, you'll probably have more Mayo backs than Galway backs, but possibly more Galway forwards than Mayo forwards. So there lies the crux of the issue. Who wins?
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
It's fascinating. Like, you know, a lot of talk about James Horan, Kevin, in the last few weeks, and, you know, plan A, plan B. Does he have a different way of playing? 7 Connacht championships and 1 defeat. Like, no manager in the history of Mayo football could dream of that kind of record. That doesn't sound like a guy who can't adapt to what's in front of him. Do you expect him to twist and turn? Are you seeing signs? Or are you expecting something a bit different this week?
Not really. I mean, if you go at the way he's set up his teams and gone about it, and over the years, Mayo have a way of playing. A lot of the national media in 2021 captured it as kind of Mayo like to have chaos, and out of that then established their running game because of their athleticism and the halfbacks and midfielders that they tend to select. Why do I think not really will we see any changes? Well, a very good point that one of your colleagues made after the final. Actually, Ed did a very good piece. I was reading it. I have the digital Mayo News coming into me every week, which is fantastic. And he was making the point that in that league final, Mayo were down 3-4 generational players, I think he called them, but you get my drift. You know, like seriously, irreplaceable players, if you like. The Paddy Durkins, Jeremy O'Connor's, Killian didn't start, these type of players. And yet, he continued to play what we loosely call Horan ball. So if you're missing your generational players and you don't make any adaptions, I think that means you're fairly committed to that style of play. And I think that is, to a certain extent, Mayo's natural style of play, which I also think Pádraig Joyce will want that, to play as some type of game like that. But I think Barry makes a very good point that if Pádraig goes after Mayo and doesn't take insurance policies with his defence, as in keeping lads dropping and keep the half forwards with a serious eye on their defensive responsibilities, that could spell a lot of danger for Galway. But I don't see the Mayo style or format or alignments, whatever you want to call it. I don't see it changing. I mean, why would they? It has served them, generally speaking, until the very biggest days, it has served Mayo very well.
Let me jump in and ask you this then. If Barry's description of last year's Connacht final just brought it back to me, Mayo were running into cul-de-sacs and getting turned over and getting scorched. As I remember it, they kicked a lot more in that second half, which really caught Galway out. And as Edwin has described, the one league game where Mayo showed something different was the Dublin league game, where they seemed to be more direct. Your thoughts on that? And is that something that, like, could Mayo kick the ball more the next day than they have done in the previous 3 league games?
Didn't we debate that the last day? If you recall, Rob, we were debating that we figured out that Ryan O'Donoghue was the best foot passer that was allowable. And, like, wouldn't he have a great game if he was kicking it into himself? So, you know, you can't all of a sudden say, well, we'd love to have a kicking game, and then look at the team you selected and say, well, the kickers aren't there. You know, like, Jeremy O'Connor is a very good kicker of the ball, and we know he gives a very decent inside ball, but he's not playing. He wasn't part of it. a lot of our early foot passing in that league final was very, very poor. It was on the inside and not to advantage. You know, a very basic aspect is keep it wing side and keep it to the advantage of the forward. We were actually cutting it on the near side and keep it at the advantage of the defender. Stuff like that, because, you know, we didn't have, some players don't have the ability to curl the ball with their wrong foot, so they're always slicing it with their stronger foot, but it doesn't give the same advantage to a corner man or a half man. And these are just the limitations of skill. There's nothing you can do about that. So I don't think a kicking game does a lot for Mayo as we're currently selected. That's just not our game. We'd love to. Every team would love to. Sure, gets the ball from A to B so much quicker. But to do it, you have to have a lot of skill. Like, the kicking of the ball is the toughest skill in the game. Like, hand passing, you or I can do that. That's no big deal. But put us out foot passing, and there might be a small little difference between the two of us. Do you know what I mean? That's the that's the crux of it. So I don't see Mayo going for that. I think Mayo's, especially if Paddy Durkin is to make it and Oisin Mullen make it, like, what is their trump card going forward? It's carrying the ball and give and go and that constant pressure where they'd start joining fellas off the shoulder then if the ball is won on the half line and off you go. So no Rob, I think I have to, it's lovely. It's like caviar, it'd be lovely, but you don't get it too often, you know, and you're not going to get Mayo turning into a foot passing team overnight. We don't, their checks, we can't cash.
It's interesting, Barry, just flip it to the Galway perspective, the kickouts. It's interesting, Kevin mentioned that, you know, it's not just the kickouts, it's the strategy around it and the movement. And I think that's the contrast is really can be summed up here. Rory Byrne could well start for Mayo the next day. In fact, Mike Trinity today is speculating that he probably will. Looks like Henley won't be back. So in that sense, that should even up the goalkeeping situation. But I wonder if we're being honest, Mayo's movement for Byrne's kickouts are going to make his job easier than Galway. Would you agree with that? Are Mayo just better able to get their own ball than Galway are?
Yeah, I think so. I think we relied heavily on Paul Conroy winning primary possession in the league final, and we have done so in the league overall. I do think that the fact that you're going to have two relatively, you know, Conor Gleeson's going to be more experienced than Rory Byrne. He's played more games, but not hugely experienced now in saying that either. I would say, again, if I was part of the Galway management team, which I'm not, probably never will be, but I would be saying safety first here, guys. Like, the last thing you want now is to put Conor Gleeson or Rory Byrne in goal on Sunday and something dramatic to happen in the first 10 minutes and you're going to consistently try and go with high-risk kickouts that could cause a huge problem. That's not going to be a scenario. I would say if it's not on 100%, I'd say we could see a lot of long kickouts and a real battle around the middle in terms of breaks. And when we move on to matchups and teams, that's why I would see Kevin McLaughlin starting for Mayo on Sunday, because I think Rory Byrne will have to go long. And out of the two teams, I would say Kevin McLaughlin is the best footballer on the pitch in terms of winning breaks. He also gives other advantages that we might move on to in terms of, you know, if you look at, this is going off on a tangent a little bit, but James Horan, we know he's a guy for detail, and he might completely disagree with me on this one and say I'm completely wrong. But over the last number of years, he hasn't found a free taker that can kick frees regularly from the right-hand side of the pitch and has cost Mayo. So I think Kevin McLaughlin, if he doesn't start, would be a big loss in that. I think it's an advantage Galway have in terms of Matthew Tierney.
I wouldn't agree with you too strongly, Barry, on Kevin. You'll recall the night Mayo played Roscommon in 20... And we'd that free to,
but
to equalise.
If he doesn't take them, Mayo get a free 30 metres from goal. Who does kick it? Just out of interest.
Yeah, nobody naturally. Yeah. Killian would probably have to shoot against the angle.
But if Killian didn't, start.
Yeah, now you're definitely. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying about Kevin McLaughlin. But unfortunately, Barry, you're slightly talking in the past tense, because Kevin's form has been really, really poor in the last. I was at the Tyrone game. He came on as a sub in that one. I don't know the context of why he wasn't selected, whether that was a form issue or an injury issue, I don't know. But he came on and he was very poor, and he hasn't been able to add to that since. He's had little bits and pieces of appearances since, but his form hasn't improved dramatically. So he'd be now the injury list. We'll get to that too, I'm sure. Might necessitate that he has to start, and I agree with everything. He's like, he has been some player for Mayo, incredible player for Mayo. But see, it's like a lot of things, and maybe you agree with me on this. Like, this is why Sunday is such a defining game in this old storied rivalry, because there's an awful lot on the line for managements, for all the senior players. Like, this could be career defining, career ending, put whatever one you want on it. There's a lot of players in their late 20s, early 30s coming to this table now. A lot of them with question marks hanging over them over the last 18 months, we'll say, in both counties now I'm talking about. And like Galway know that Damien Comer is a smashing player, Shane Walsh, smashing player, Paul, etc. Who's the only one that really has shown this year he's up from Paul Conroy. Isn't that right? Like, we all know Shane and these guys have massive potential. And on our side, we're all wondering, you know, is Aidan O'Shea, where is he? Where's Killian? You know, they're all moving on now and heading maybe the wrong side of 30 now at this stage, some of them. So all that's beginning to come up. Then you have Porrick, who has to really nail down a Connacht championship over James, doesn't he really, if you think about it? Because then, remember, fellas, Sunday evening, when you do the sums on the way home in the car, one of the teams out of the championship is now a two-round qualifier where there's no Wicklows or there's no Leitrims and there's no Carlows in it. You know, you could get Tyrone away. You could get Armagh up in the athletic grounds in your qualifier match. And now, because they're going into round one, it's a quarterfinal defeat, they go into round one. So all of a sudden now it's a two-game championship, and supposing it was Mayo's lot to lose out on in the qualifiers as well, well, that would spell a big reflection, wouldn't it? And I'm sure it would signal a big reflection in Galway as well if they didn't get beyond that. And like, that's what's going to happen. Pretty much, one of the teams is going to be out of the provincials, and then they're going to be looking at the draw very, very carefully and hoping minimum to get a home game to try and rev it up again. But you could end up in a two game championship in 2022. Just like that.
I'll obviously bow to your superior knowledge in terms of Kevin McLaughlin's form, but one of the points, and it surprises me a little bit in terms of James Horan, who we know is methodical in terms of preparation, in that he is there for 10 years, whatever, however many years he's with Mayo, and they have never developed a free taker that can go to the left hand, the right hand side of the pitch, and to a certain extent have never, and this has cost them numerous occasions. I think Jason Doherty for me is probably the number one. They've never really developed a guy that can sit, put a 45 down. And your
Connor Mortimer was the last
Connor,
one, wasn't
Connor
he?
Would be that, last. But he wouldn't have been in James Horan's. He wouldn't have been in James Horan, period. And they haven't developed someone like that. So that's why I'm just thinking it out, that the last thing you want to be is down the home stretch, level with 5 minutes to go, get a free 30 yards out, and on the right hand side of the pitch, and you have to go backwards because you don't have a player in the pitch who can kick it with his left foot. I think that is an area of concern if I was for Mayo, and they don't have Robbie Henley to come and kick the 45s. So who's going to kick them? So I think there's two issues there. In terms of the overall importance of the game, Sunday is huge. Porrick, it's very hard, Kevin, you'll know, it's very hard to put into context how Porrick Joyce, the esteem he's held in Galway football, and the aura that he has when he walks down the street, when he talks, when he walks into a dressing room, because of what he has done, not only in the glory days, what he did for his club, what he did for Galway when they were really struggling, he kept his shoulder to the wheel and he kept doing. But we all know that it's a results business when you go into management. And because he didn't win the league final, because we've lost two Connacht finals in a row under his stewardship, if we lose another one, it'd be four, you know, if we lose another one to Mayo, we're under real pressure. Then he comes under pressure if he doesn't get his team to an All-Ireland semi-final. And he'll know that. He's well aware. He's acute. He's astute in terms of knowing the feeling on the ground in terms of Galway football. What I would say in terms of...
His own standards. His own standards demand.
Exactly. And then one other point in terms of James Horan is, I think in 9 times he has managed Mayo against Galway in league and championship, and he's been beaten once. So he knows how to win. Kevin Walsh came in kind of around the Stephen Rochford time, and he got the format right in terms of how to beat Mayo. But pre Kevin Walsh and post Kevin Walsh, we've struggled. And I just hope that on Sunday evening we can find a winning format.
Just to finish off that particular piece of analysis, and this is absolutely true, fellas. In my limited career as a manager, whether it be club or county, whether it's minors or under-21s I had or seniors, and this comes as natural as night follows day. There comes a game in every management career that you have to win. There comes a day that, like, I would have recognized it in every job I had. We're going up next Sunday, and you'd be saying to one or two of your mates, this is like, I don't know where this is all going. If we can't get a victory next Sunday, we have to have a long talk with ourselves. And that comes for every manager, and you know it instinctively. And it's not like you know it 6 months ago. It's just in the last few weeks, both managers will now know, Jesus, this is a game we have to win. This and for him personally, or for members of his team, it becomes a game you have to win, because the flip side is, where do you go after this one? And I can go back to 18 when we played Galway over in the Hyde, when I was the Roscommon manager, and absolutely knew that morning, we win this, we can keep this going for another year or two. We lose this, we've lost our momentum from the previous year. We're back in the pile now. We're back at number 7, 8, 9 in the country, and number 3 in Connacht, and we're back at the bottom of the mountain. And that comes very naturally, fellas. That's just the cycle of it, and that's why I put it out there that I think this is, we're both agreed, it's a critical game. I'd go to say that it's career defining for Pádraig and James at this moment, as in what their next move would be. In defeat, it would be a very, very difficult one. You'd have to have a marvelous qualifier, and Barry, you said deep into the championship. It'd have to be a semi final for Galway. Minimum, it'd have to be a semi final for Mayo, but probably a final for Mayo, probably.
If it's Mayo, you're trying to do that through two difficult qualifier games, playing the Munster, Leinster, Ulster Championship winners just to get to the semi final.
Yeah. And the recovery and the suspensions and the injuries and everything, it's week on week on week because you're not winning then. And everything becomes really, really difficult.
I want to get into the matchup. So I just really quickly, though, just to double down on it, like, James Horan has a much bigger portfolio and CV as a manager than Pádraig Joyce, and a much more successful run in terms of Connacht titles and All Ireland finals. Now, but at this stage, are we at his All Ireland final record has actually boiled down to this, where he is under that same pressure? Is that's how you feel, Kevin?
It is, yeah. And unfortunately, the conversation around Mayo and the Connacht Championship, this is not to demean the championship, it's a brilliant championship, probably going to be one of the better ones this year, is that the conversation around winning Connacht for Mayo, that moved on about, I would say, 6, 7, 8 years ago. That the Mayo ambition was the All Ireland, and whether you won Connacht or not, you had to get to the final and see how it panned out. And that's the pressure he's under. Like, it's terrible that the man could be the manager of yet another winning. Like, he'll set more records about winning Connacht. But people aren't judging him on that, which is very unfair, but that's just the way that things have moved on. That's where the narrative is now. Whereas for Galway, if Pádraig could win a Connacht, and he'll know if they beat Mayo, all of a sudden, the winners next Sunday become the favourites for the Connacht final, obviously, the Connacht title. But more importantly, if you win Connacht, you're really looking now, you're in the All-Ireland series, quarterfinal, decent draw, you're in the semi-final, now anything can happen. And that's where Pádraig, that's his, when he goes to bed dreaming at night, I guess, that's what he's thinking. That's his journey. But for poor old James, unfortunately, he could win the Connacht final again this year in great style. And is anybody really going to praise him? It's terrible. But that's where it's been at for Mayo for 10 years now, I guess. And it's one of the big disadvantages of it, that he can't get the Mayo narrative off the All-Ireland side of it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Barry,
does it does win in a Connacht. Now, I know it means different things for Galway Mayo right now. I'm well aware of that. But for James Horan, there is an expectation among the Mayo GA supporters to get to an All-Ireland semi-final at the very minimum. If he got there and didn't win, it's seen as a little bit of a regression from last year, considering they were in the All-Ireland final last year. But does having, you know, survival in Division 1, bringing through a huge amount of players and having a Connacht medal or a Connacht championship in his back pocket soften the blow in terms of when he sits in front of, you know, the Mayo County Board or whatever, as opposed to getting bet by Galway, getting to an All-Ireland semi-final, losing that and not having a Connacht win in his back pocket. I think there's an importance to it in terms of the overall optics. And in general, and we know this in life, optics trump fact. And if it looks like, you know, it's been a successful year, even if it hasn't been overall, that's nearly as important as the actual KPIs that, you know, James Horan looks at when he does, as Kevin Walsh used to say, his end of year accounts.
Big thanks to Nigel Reap Office Supplies, print and sign, for supporting what we're doing here in the podcast. A friend of the podcast, as you know, comes on to talk football with us. But if you need any printing done, posters, signs, lotto booklets for your club, you name it, then give a shout to Nigel in Knockmore at 086-858-6572. Speaking of Pádraig O'Hara, last month was in a battle with David Clifford. I watched most of the game. There was two of them at it most of the game. But a lot of people focused in on the camera shots, Kevin, and the pushes and shoving, which only started after David Clifford ran up, because I think he thought Flynn was kind of, you know, exaggerating the injury. And that's what kicked it all off. Listen, I could go around in circles on this. My point is this, right? O'Hara is going to be critical on a man-marking job, possibly on Walsh again. How much is he under the spotlight in terms of officials? Is he getting extra watched? Is this a problem for Mayo now?
Well, that remains to be seen. When next there's a critical moment and we see the reaction of the referee to it, we'll know then whether... But let me say a couple of things about it. His defensive efforts on the goal were very, very good. I mean, if you look at that from a coaching perspective, he did everything just about right. And remember, he was in isolation. He was in isolation, which was poor form by the defensive coverage he was given. He was given no defensive coverage, which isn't nice for any defender, especially when you're on probably the top player in the country at the moment in terms of form. So in that aspect, and in other aspects of his defensive work that day, he was very good. The only problem was he was on one of the finest players perhaps we're going to see for some time. You know, when he fleshes out his portfolio and starts putting all Ireland medals on it, you know, we're going to say Clifford is up there with all of them. So I thought defensively he did a great job. He made a rookie error in getting involved with him, I would suggest.
Okay.
You know, the optics of that were not good, because the crowd are always going to go with the stylist and with the guy that they admire, and the guys with all the flourishes and the skills, and you know, Pádraig O'Hara is going to be painted as the big bad wolf, isn't he? So that was silly. I mean, the game was up. Kerry were winning that All-Ireland one way or the other, or that league one way or the other. So, you know, probably the best thing is to bite your lip and just get on with it and keep defending as best you could and maybe wait for another day. But unfortunately, he got captured, and, you know, the poking the bear headline down the Examiner, I saw that, and a few other bits and pieces. So he's probably brought a bit of attention onto him. But remember, he did bring attention onto himself last year in Croke Park when he was marking Shane Walsh. And that was not clever at all. He got out of jail that day, I would suggest. You know, we go around in Mayo bitching and whinging about our star players getting walloped and pulled and dragged when we're playing Dublin and whoever we're playing. You know, what happened that day wasn't so clever either now. If you look back, if we're being fair about things, he got away with it. Let me put it that way. But that happens very often in championship. The refs have eyes in the back of their head. So you can be sure officials look at these things. And they know going into big games who's likely to pull a stroke, who's likely to be involved, Like, it is generally speaking the same boys all the time. And every county has a couple of them. And that's just the way it is. That's the way the game has been for 100 years. So he needs to mind himself. I think he is an awful lot going for him. He's the sort of player we need. And he is, what I love about him is he is very strong mentally. You can see that even, you know, the last moments of the league, he wasn't backing off. He might have just got the approach slightly wrong, but he wasn't backing off. And you know, you pick him, he's going to give it everything. Whether it works out for him or not, he is going to give it everything he has, because that's the only way he knows. And he's a very fine fella that way. But does he need to mind himself? He does. Of course he does. Especially in this truncated championship now that we're racing into. You know, you don't need a suspension. You don't need anything silly like that. You just get out, play the game, play it as hard as you can and as fair as you can, and go right to the edge of it and set that defensive standard for Mayo. That's what they want from him. The rest of the stuff, I'm not a big fan of the fledging and that stuff. I don't think he needs to go there. He's enough. He's a powerful man, and he's going well enough.
I'm just glad that Kevin made the point about Pádraig Ó Huaire and Shane Walsh and said I didn't. RB.
No, I make that point because fair play is good sport. We'd be very quick, you know, if you were pulling Killian around the place or whatever. And, you know, I can go back to my own time and look, everybody was well able to do what had to be done. And did it make it right? It didn't. So, you know, we can't make, you know, fish of one and flesh of another. If we want, like, fair play is in the game. It's an amateur sport. I'm a big fan of Shane Walsh. You probably have gathered as much. I'm a big fan of Clifford. I'm a big fan of Tommy Conroy. I'm a big fan of all these guys that I love going watching playing. But I'm a big fan of O'Hara as well. I think he's great for Mayo. But you know, he was very lucky last year. So as Mayo people, we have to accept when we're not great ourselves. You have to be fair about these things. You know, fair play is good sport, and nobody likes to see the way he finished his 2021 championship. That should not be what it's about.
I just want to ask you this, Barry, in relation to that, because it's in other sports. Can Galway do more to protect Shane Walsh? Now, I'm not saying we want a sport where we're saying that stuff happens, tough crap, it's up to Galway to protect him. But let's say lighter versions of that, because I feel, I'm just saying it, just my view, I'm only a guy in the crowd, Shane Walsh sometimes gets bullied out of Mayo games in a different way than what we're talking about there. A, if you could take that premise, and B, can Galway do more to protect him?
I think, and this might sound harsh and Shane, but that's Shane's responsibility. And finer footballers than Shane Walsh have come out of Galway. I've great time for Shane. I think he's a superb footballer. I think there's a little bit of patness on the head, and sometimes with himself and Damien going, you know, from across the border or across other counties, going, they're fine footballers if they fill their potential. These lads are nearly 30 years old now, lads. So it's up to them to protect themselves. I can guarantee you, you know, Michael Donlan, Jaff Allen, Pádraig Joyce, Derek Savage, Joe Bergen never required anyone to protect them. So no more than Kieran McDonald, Andy Moore, and James Nallen. You know, mentally, David Clifford doesn't require, he won't be going to Mayo or to Kerry management saying, you know, I need a bit of help here, guys. You know, it's a tough sport. It's a tough game. It's a physical game. But you also need to be able to shrug that off and go and go and go and go again. And until Shane can do that, he probably won't go down as one of our top ever footballers in terms of individual pieces of skill and what he can do from time to time. He'll probably go down as our most gifted footballer. But does he have the sustainability to influence a game over a period, or influence, more importantly, influence a season or two seasons? At the moment, he hasn't done that. And Damien hasn't done it either. Now, in terms of back to the matchup of Pádraig Ó Huaire, I would see him picking up Damien Comer. And in fairness to Pádraig Joyce, he has got Damien back in form. He's fit. He looks lean. He is a superbly powerful athlete, can kick off both feet, and has an eye for goal. But in saying that, Yeah, he was excellent, and a real focus. And probably, you know, probably one of the reasons maybe Rob Finnerty's form has dipped a little bit is that Damien has now become such that the real focus point for our full forward line, where Rob was that player. So I would say maybe it could be an idea to bring Rob to 11 and play him in that role. I think he's a good creator. He's good on the ball. But in saying that, if Pádraig Ó HÁra has left, I think in the league final, I counted in the first half 7 times where the ball was kicked from the Kerry midfield half, back line half, whoever kicked it. And it was 2-on-2 inside the Mayo 65. Now, if Mayo do that, and what I would say about that, and this is going away from matchups, is if that was an outlier and we said, gee, that is very un-Mayo-like, then you wouldn't think that that'll happen Sunday. But that has happened before. And it's something that they don't seem to have learned from hugely. And Galway will be saying, let's keep Damien close to goal. If it is Pádraig Ó HÁra, if it's Lee Keegan, whoever's in there with him, let's try and drag our half forward line good and deep and leave as much space inside as there as possible. But I would say it'll be Pádraig Ó HÁra. And just to back up something that Kevin said, I would love if Pádraig Ó HÁra was from Milltown or somewhere else, Hedford or somewhere else close to the Galway Mayo border, because he's a guy, you know, and you don't want to go with the old cliche about good people make good All Blacks, but he looks like, I don't know the guy, but the optics of him, he looks like a good guy. He's emotional. He wears his heart in his sleeve. Overall, seems to be off the pitch, seems to be a really top fella. And like, they're the sort of personalities we need in the GAA. You know, you had the sledging thing. Look, David Clifford's no angel either, lads. The Shane Walsh thing was over the top. But overall, he adds more to Gaelic games, both in Mayo and nationally, then he detracts from it. And as I said, if he wants to move across the border, we gladly take him.
Remember also, lads, and I we had Shane down at a function maybe a month ago or so here locally in Roscommon, and he's a big fella. Like, I mean, he's well able to look after himself, and that's the part Barry is saying. Like, he's 28 now, is his actual age, he was telling me, and so he has to start looking after himself. Like, the only person he can look to for help is the referee to make sure fair play abounds. But the referee has to look after the other 29 as well. He has responsibility to all 30. And there's an excellent ref again for Sunday in Dave Coldrick, who will certainly let the physical side of it go, but he will be on top of foul play. That would be his calling cards, I would say. And he's a great guy to referee a full-blooded championship match. But in terms of Shane, we're probably talking too much about him now at this stage. The focus has gone a little bit across him, but he's a big lad. He knows how to look after himself. What Galway want to see is him dominating a game. That's what they want to see over 60, 70 minutes. That's the last bloody thing we want to see, of course. But he is that influential. Like, look what happened when he came on, Barry, in the league. Galway had 6 points whipped over in jig time. They were moving really lovely until Roscommon got the sucker punch with the goal. They're a much better team when he's in full flow and at the top of his game, and that's where they will want him. That's how I see that one.
Where will Aidan O'Shea play for you, Kevin?
Who, Jenny Max? I know I get cynical now when you ask me this. This is about the fourth time, I think, in the last 2 years you've asked me that question, Rob. And I
thought you were going to walk away there when you lean back and just
sometimes I think May are doing their very, very best to destroy whatever bit of confidence that poor lad has left in him in football. Like, I'm going to say 14. I don't understand this. Maybe he's saying he doesn't want to play there, but you know, I think, yeah. Well, I often think, you know, when if I was his manager, you know, I would love to sit down with him, have a cup of coffee, and say, you know, I want you to respect me, and I want to respect you, but we have to understand that you have to do what's best for the team. When I'm the manager, when I pick a spot for you, you have to go, and I am going with you at 14, and that's going to be it for the whole of the league until I find out absolutely this cannot be done. That's where you're going. Like, look at the difference. Well, I tell you one thing, and I've said this a lot of times. I don't know who you're going to put full back, Barry, on Sunday, but if Aidan O'Shea is in there, I'll tell you one thing won't happen. He won't be catching any high ball. It will break at a minimum. That's the sort of torture that Aidan O'Shea would bring to any full back. there's going to be a contest. The fullback will not be catching the ball. And if you were, if we had a Tommy Conroy or a Ryan Dunhu beside him, that quality of player, Jesus, it'd be mayhem from my perspective. But what kills this all the time then is, we're back to the bad kickers. We don't have the good passers that can give diagonals, who can put the ball hanging, who can put the ball in front of them, who can put it to advantage on the side. We don't have that particular skill. And that's maybe why a lot of the time he doesn't see, he fails, we'll say, use that word. That's an awful word, but it doesn't work out for him at 14. But like we've had him centre back, we've had him midfield, we have him at 11. Where else have we had him this year alone? Like he's why didn't throw him into goal maybe on Sunday if we're stuck? Would there be, put him everywhere else.
Would there be, I'm cutting across to Kevin, would there be an argument to play him? To me, reading Aidan O'Shea, and again, I'm sure like alone James Horne, he has had all these conversations with him, but it's certain, to me, the best tackler in Gaelic football, close contact tackler, is Aidan O'Shea. That if he gets hands close, brilliant, he takes the ball off you. Is there an argument to be said, you have a job on Sunday, Aidan, you're going to go out with Matthew Ruan and you're going to go on Paul Conroy. You have a job to track Paul, you have a job to get turnovers in the middle of the pitch, but I do not want to see you solo on the ball, because he has time and time again soloed the ball into contact, turned back, either been turned over or turned back, and the guy who he's turned back to has been blocked down because he's been too close to Aidan when he's received the hand pass. But say, do not solo the ball, win turnovers, win our throw-ups, mark Paul Conroy, be a physical presence around the middle of the pitch, and lay the ball off quickly.
Well, okay, I'll give you the, if I was, you know, the management perspective perhaps on it, or maybe the management, the coaches as well. So one, he has a massive frame, as you know. He's a big boy. To get around playing that role that you're talking about, tracking Paul Conroy, et cetera, who's more athletic, obviously. To do that for 70 minutes would be a big, big ask for a man of that size. Mobility is not his biggest point. I agree with the tackling. He's magnificent. And he also has gorgeous hands. And people say he's not accurate. I've seen him play club matches where he put the ball into your eye. He's a beautiful left foot. And even if Mayo started with that this season, we want to give him the role Barry has just outlined. Once we get to Croke Park, if we get to Croke Park, now the whole speed of the thing changes. And Aidan is not mobile enough, I would say, at this stage of his career to play that role in Croke Park. Whereas the role I've spoken about many, many times, yeah, you could obviously use him for the throw-ins, obviously use him for 5 minutes at 11, maybe 10 minutes at the role you're talking about, but predominantly a focal point at 14. Something we've not naturally had, even though Killian has been very good for us. You wouldn't call Killian a focal point full forward. He's well able to win the ball out in front. He's well able to fight for it. But a high dropping ball, you know, that's hanging, Killian won't be catching them, or he won't be doing anything major with them. Whereas Aidan O'Shea, if Aidan O'Shea catches that ball clean playing at 14, like, he's right beside the goal. He's very, very dangerous. And I said, excuse me, he's got excellent hands. He's lovely, soft hands, right or left. And but for whatever reason, I'm sure there's a very good reason, because James is no fool. He must have sat down, as you said, and discussed this. We're not privy to these things. I suppose that's what makes us this. We can give our opinions and talk. Maybe probably they're looking at this and said, did you ever hear such nonsense now? Like, do you think we haven't tried this?
I'm sure.
I would say, just before we leave the Aidan O'Shea topic, I would say Sean Kelly will, if they decide to put Aidan O'Shea in goal, I'd say Sean Kelly will just go in on him, whether it's fullback, midfield, centre forward. I'd say he will tag Aidan O'Shea all day long.
Why, Barry? Because he's going to. Because Kelly knows when he gets the ball, your man has
absolutely. No, Sean is deceptively big as well. You know, you said Shane is a big, like, Sean Kelly's a big, big unit as well. And you know, as you said, has pace and will put Aidan on the back foot if he gets a break. And he will also go from full back in terms of, you know, it's certainly a tactic. Like I saw the Galway Cork game, you had Sean Meehan at fullback for Cork and you had Sean Kelly at fullback for Galway, and both of them, literally every single time there was a turnover, both went. And that's obviously a tactic from Galway, someone else is slot into fullback. But overall, my opinion would be that Sean Kelly, when he has his breakfast on Sunday morning and drives, they're driving to Castlebar, he will know the first person he'll shake hands with is Aidan O'Shea.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms, you can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Who's taking Walsh for you, Kevin? If you were to agree with Barry that O'Hara is going to be on Team in Comer.
Well, I take it that Comer will go 14. That's his best position. And that Shane Walsh will go 11. That's probably his best position. And, you know, like, that's where your best players should be, in their best positions, not dreaming up positions that don't maximize their capacities or their abilities. And so I would say Shane Walsh will probably be 11, I guess. We'd have options there, but only if they're fit. And I don't know the...
I don't think Durkin's going to start.
I haven't heard the health checks on Mayo, but I'll presume that Paddy Durkin and our Oisin Mullen will be fit. So they would be the natural matchups. And I'll throw one in just while we're talking about matchups. I know you asked me specifically about Walsh. I'm saying Durkin or Oisin Mullen, but big asterisks there now. Are they fit? I don't know. Are they healthy? The Conroy one, I see Paul Conroy as Galway's biggest asset right now. Like, he's in form. He must be feeling great about playing for Galway right now. He's had a great match in Croke Park. And even though it was a Division 2 final, he just played really good football. Like, everything he did was good. Left-footed shots from distance were going over. All his work was top, top class. And so he must be in great form. So he'd be, you know, the old hammer the hammer. That's the fella now you want to throw a rope around, very quick and close down. And I'll throw one out. I'll throw one out here. And again, it's a bit like the Aidan O'Shea one. Are his best mobility days behind him and tracking days behind him? But I've seen Lee Keegan in the past do great jobs on top-notch players like that. And you can go back the years he's done it. I know, I have personal experience of him taking up Shane or Enda Smith when I was with Roscommon, and Enda was, you know, our top man and very influential. And geez, next thing I saw Lee Keegan going out to midfield. I thought, geez, what is going on here? Like, you know, a guy this size out in the middle of the field. But no, he went after him and caused us a lot of issues.
Kevin, to jump in there, but that was a Rochford move rather than a Horan move. James, in my opinion, James Horan doesn't.
He'd be watching this, Rob. He'd be watching it. He'd be like, if it's. It is a bit left field. Don't get me wrong.
That's kind of my point. You don't see that as much from Horan. You don't see him kind of go, wow, what's he doing here?
Well, he has to get three. Maybe a month ago he decided who he was going to match up with the three Galway lads. He has to go after Comer, Conroy, and Walsh. Just has to. If they get going and they get a free run, like, Comer was very good in the final as well. Walsh was very good for the 15 minutes or whatever he came on. He was very dangerous. And Paul Conroy right throughout. So they have to be. That's the major number one priority. And after that, then you do the best you can with what's left. But you close them three down, we win the game. There's no question about that. That just, Galway couldn't configure a victory unless at least two of those three lads are playing very, very well. And so obviously Mayo have to go after them.
Again, just to throw it out there, and I was thinking about what Mayo will try and do. Would there be an argument to throw in the Hessian on Shane Walsh and allow Oisin, say hypothetically Oisin Mullen and Paddy Durkin are fit, to say, you know, we know whoever the Galway wing for, Galway will play with four up top, or try to play with four up top. They'll play with Damien Comer, maybe Desi Keneally inside. They'll play with Shane Walsh and Rob Finnerty maybe dropping out. And then they'll have two wing forwards, you know, maybe it's Owen Gallagher and Finian O'Lee. So just throwing those names out, they'll go deep. Is there an argument to be said, let's leave in the Hessian on Shane Walsh, by the lads going deep and we're looking for this Horan ball? You have big strike runners in Patrick Durkin and Oisin Mullen to say, look, they can break lines. rather than being tied up, Marcus Shea.
What about Dean Duane?
They can also, I think Dean Duane is a fine footballer. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen an awful lot of him, but he's.
I know he's a very good player, but power, just power. Jesus, Walsh is massive explosiveness. Stronger man.
I agree with you on the Paul Conroy and Lee Keegan thing. Like, and I also agree with you as well, Robin, that James is very methodical. You know, putting Aidan O'Shea back full back wouldn't have happened under James Horan. But I do think putting Lee Keegan, like, we, you know, Jeremy Connolly, for all intents and purposes, okay, he was just renamed at 11 or 10 or whatever it was, but played out around the middle of the pitch, and look what Lee Keegan did on it. Are his best days behind him? I don't think so. But they're going to have to do something on Paul Conroy. Now, from a Galway aspect of it, we have to give Paul Conroy, like, as much possible credit as can be given to a fella, because he, if you look at Paul Conroy, but if you look at him five years ago, 6 years ago, his body shape has completely transformed. He's now this, so, in, you know, 5-6 years ago, he was not heavy. I don't mean that in that way, but he's heavier than he is now. He's now lean. He's more mobile than he was. He's fitter than what he was. He is the ultimate professional. And, you know, we've looked across at you for years and said, like, look, Keith Higgins and Lee Keegan and these guys, Killian O'Connor, they're the ultimate pros. Paul Conroy, you know, Cullen Boyle, you know, matches his injury, broken leg, broken two legs, and the one time doesn't happen often. But just the way he has come back, he's the ultimate professional. He's never injured. You know, they put him full forward, centre forward, midfield. He always does a job. And then, you know, on another adjunct to that, he's always the best footballer for his club. That isn't always the case for Galway footballers. I'm not sure what it's like in Mayo, but every day St James's play, 8 times out of 10, Paul Conroy would be man of the match.
He's a good lad as well.
Smashing fella.
He's a smashing lad as well. He's a good fella. He was teaching here for a while. He's a real danger for us. We have to get after him.
I want to get after two Mayo players that might be a danger for you, which would be Matty Horan and Ryan O'Donoghue. Your thoughts on that? How are you going to deal with them?
Do you know what? This sounds funny now. I would know Jack Lynn relatively well. Again, he plays at Clare Galway. We had him with Thurlock Moore in hurling. He's an excellent hurler as well. And phenomenal pace, phenomenal power. We saw what he did to Kieran. His name escapes me. The kind of bright hope of Dublin in under 20 final. Excellent footballer. And down in the dome. Yeah, exactly.
Archer.
Yeah, he just took him to the cleaners. Down in the dome in the FPD game in January, Jack Lynn was on a really good game. And Ryan O'Donoghue came on and scorched him 2 or 3 times now. I mean, you know, runs across the line, absolutely burnt him. And that struck fear for me now, to say that this guy, and I've seen him a couple of times during the league, he's now developing into one of the top forwards in the game. Maybe a tad small, I'm not sure, but that doesn't seem to hinder his threat. So our full back line is going to be under pressure. I would imagine Liam Silk or Jack Lynn will pick him up. But again, if we're naive and we say, well, you know, Mayo try and withdraw their half forward line and our half back line go after them and we leave 45 metres between Ryan O'Donoghue and Liam Silk or Jack Lynn, I don't think it'll be Kieran Malloy. He struggled in the league final. Then it doesn't matter who it is. It could be Declan Meehan. He's not going to be able to match him in terms of that natural instinct that guy has up front. So it'll take a really good performance from whoever goes on him, but they'll need protection, and that's vital. Matthew Rowan, again, a guy that I could never really understand. So I was involved with NUIG Freshers a few years ago, and we played DCU in a Freshers semi-final, and the Bettas by probably about 45 points. And they had a good few of that Mayo under-21 winning team on it. The wing back from Balladrine, Akram, I can't think his first name. Really good player. But Matthew Horan was the best footballer on the pitch. And we had a couple of the Galway under-21s that are now playing senior there. And he wasn't progressing with the Mayo seniors. And it has taken him a few years, but he's now one of the top midfielders in the country. Up to the Ireland final, I thought he was absolutely exceptional. not a great fighter, but he's developed into a fine, fine footballer now. So the, do you stick or twist in terms of, you say, do you know what, you go all Paul Conroy and you do a job, or do you put someone else on Paul Conroy and let Matthew Horan express himself? Personally, I would put him on Paul Conroy if they don't put Lee Keegan on him, or if they don't put Aidan O'Shea on him, as I'd mentioned, and say, look, we get this one, we get a plus for this one, it's a real positive for us. But on the flip side, you know, Paul Conroy gets in behind him a couple of times and kicks two or three long range scores, that's a big win for Galway. So in the long short of it, the long story or the short story of it, I don't know.
Kevin, you know, one last point really on this as we wrap this up. Like, I losing Flynn is such a loss. I can't believe we're saying this as much as we're saying. Look, we know Jordan Flynn is a good footballer. It's not like he's emerged this year, but he has emerged on another level this year. And I can't help but think, as bad as that Kerry defeat was, it was a lot worse because he went off the field.
Yeah, and isn't it gas? Again, in the preview, we're talking about the league final when I was with you last, Rob. The league for Mayo has been superb in finally tracking down and nailing down an 8 and a 9 in Matthew Ryan and Jordan Flynn. It was a very good complementary pairing. And then what happened? Kind of a daft sort of an injury. I don't know. It was a kind of a, I don't know, black card, the land guy. I don't actually know how it happened, but the upshot of it is that he has a nasty ankle injury now, and the championship is probably beyond him nearly, again, because it's happening all so fast. And that's a terrible pity, because he was one of those midfielders that can add a score or two to the workload as well, which is always handy. That would be kind of Matthew Ryan's big asset. That number one, yes, he's mobile, he works very, very hard, and Matthew's a very good footballer, but he also rolls in with an old goal and a few points every now and then as well, which can be very helpful, because the midfielders are naturally a little bit more loose. They're not as attended to as the full forward lines and half forward lines, so they can get in on the back of things if they're good enough. And to lose him, he was having a slow burner of a season. I remember commentating on him a few times this year, where he was mixing mad stuff with great stuff. And, you know, we're making the point, you know, if he knocks this out of his game and polishes himself up on the fine points around his hand passing and foot passing, that he could improve. And the last two or three matches then in the league, he tore off and really was in good form. So he's a big, big loss now as well. And I don't know, locally, who they're saying will fill in for him. I haven't read this week's Mayo News yet. Who's the...
Could be the talk about Aidan O'Shea going in there, bearing in mind that people are still lost in that. So, yeah, I've heard Galway people saying they prefer that. That'll suit them fine.
Would Dermot O'Connor be...
Maybe now's the time, yeah.
Surely at There's this stage. A lot of talk, surely yeah. At this stage he has no, to go
he's,
to
he's injured, Barry. He's been injured for
yeah, just reading, just as we said off the top, just reading the paper, like, Finno has done as much research as he can, considering the mayor management haven't talked for 7 weeks. And he has said that Dermot O'Connor and Oisin Mullen look set to return. But I think reading between the lines, Paddy Durkin is unlikely.
I hope that's more reliable than the story of the boot going out into the stand now.
you couldn't be trusted Finnerty on anything.
Finno's career is under the microscope.
That used to be a newspaper record until he became editor.
We've run up against clock. We just have enough time for the clubhouse section of the pod, which I'll jump into for 2 minutes. The both of you have to go and I have to go. We all have to work because, you know, it's an afternoon record. But just to finish, you got to call it. Barry, how do you feel right now as we talk? It's Tuesday.
Genuinely, like, you would have to say, if Mayo's top players are all, you know, if Dermot O'Connor's fit, and I mean fit, not starting now, I mean actually fit, if Oisin Mullen plays, if Paddy Durkin plays, the trump is with Mayo. If they don't, if they defend naively like they did in the league final, I think Galway could get joy up top. I'll be honest, one thing, I'm not sure it'll be as good a game as we think it'll be, or either team is at the top table in terms of quality. That's only my own take on it. I was looking at the, like, if you look at the, and I'm going on a bit here now, apologies, but if you look at the team that was named to the league final, I think it was James Carr, Aidan O'Shea, Young Kearney, Ryan O'Donoghue, I'm not sure who the two corner forward, Connor Loftus and Jason Doherty. So yeah, so it was Connor Loftus, Aidan O'Shea, Jack Kearney, James Carr, Jason Doherty, and Ryan O'Donoghue. I would say that's probably one of the worst forward lines Mayo have named in a considerable period of time. Now you might disagree with me on that one. And likewise, maybe Galway aren't as maybe that is where Galway are in terms of the Roscommon game. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised to see Galway win and Mayo go further in All Ireland. But right now, we're going to Castlebar with a good bit of hope, but realizing this is going to be a huge battle.
Kevin, your thoughts?
My prediction of a Mayo victory is totally predicated on the injury list and the health bulletin. I mean, if those ones that you're saying look likely to tog swing the other way and they're unlikely to tog, then Mayo are drilling fairly deep down into the squad. I definitely take Barry's point that the Mayo forward line, no matter what forward line they pick now for Sunday, won't be frightening anybody. Whereas, you know, Galway have two or three explosive attackers if they were to hit form. But the overall sense is of a Mayo win, 3 or 4 points, based on the idea that James has always got it fairly right for this fixture. It's one he obviously really relishes. And Galway haven't done enough. They just haven't done enough yet. And maybe we're going to see it Sunday. Galway do tend to come with a burst when they come. So maybe we will see it Sunday. But definitely haven't done enough. They haven't been convincing enough in Division 2 of the league. For whatever reason, they fell away a bit towards the end. Maybe took their eye off it. And we're going to see on Sunday that the two teams were involved in fake news there for the last few weeks of their league campaign. I think for both sets of supporters, they'd want to have been involved in fake news because the finish to their league was poor. And I think they need to give themselves a national impetus and momentum, then, you know, one of the sides needs to win with some aplomb on Sunday. And I think it will be Mayo, but if I'm, you know, reading or hearing on Sunday morning, Rob, that those injuries are now leading to omissions, well, then I'm back to a toss-up. And the three guys that we've been talking about on the Galway side, Mayo have to come to terms with those three. They have to close them down. That will be the key. Among other things, that will be that key to winning it.
Brilliant stuff, lads. Stick with us for a couple of seconds for the clubhouse section of the podcast. But for you listeners on the Mayo News podcast, thanks a million for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.